legacy. It's not usually a word we use that often in our day-to-day language, but it is a word that affects us. It is a word that affects every single family in the world. It affects every nation in the world. Every organization, every business has a legacy. Something that has been left behind, a reputation they have left behind. And that legacy can be good or it can be bad. It can hurt the people that work with that business or it can help them in one way or another. As Christians, we all individually will have a legacy. We will leave something behind, a reputation or a way we have helped someone before, a story they can tell when they stand at our funeral or come and visit with our families after the time of our passing. There's going to be stories they can tell. What will that legacy be? What will my life tell others when it finally comes to an end? This evening we're going to be talking about a particular legacy, and that is not Softly and Tenderly, the song. We're going to be talking about the legacy of a man who had to go against his own family. He had to break the mold of where his family had been, and that was the man Josiah. Our scripture reading tonight came from 2 Kings chapter 22. I would like you to go ahead and start with chapter 21. And we're going to be reading a little bit about the legacy that this man had to deal with before he even became king. See, there were two other kings that were in his family that started this whole mess that he would inherit. So if we're starting in 2 Kings chapter 21, let's go ahead and start in verse 16. 21 verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other, besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 17, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did and the sin that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. So we're trying to deal with this legacy that Josiah was facing, and his father, or grandfather, was that of Manasseh, a very wicked king. We read of his description, it said he filled the city of Jerusalem with blood from one end to the other. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a guy I want to be around. That doesn't sound like somebody that I want in a leadership role. Imagine if we talked about a president of the United States and we said his legacy was he filled the United States with blood from one side to the other. Not a good legacy. Not a good impact on the world around him. And you see, Josiah was having to inherit the kingdom that Manasseh had begun to destroy. But it wasn't just Manasseh. It wasn't just Manasseh. You see, his father Amon also reigned. Now let's read a little bit about his father Manasseh. Let's go to verses 20 through 22. Talking about Amon here, we see in verse 19, he was 22 years old when he began to reign. Verse 20, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Well, we're two for two right now as having rejected God. If you go study the history of Israel and of Judah themselves and their kings, it doesn't take you long to realize that there were not many good kings. Israel had none. Judah had barely a few. But we see how this went. The legacy of Manasseh was he rejected God. He followed the ways of idols. He brought death and destruction to his kingdom. Then Amon comes along, and what does he do? He follows in the exact same footsteps as his father. Did exactly the same thing. Now, Amon had a very short reign in comparison because he was betrayed. He was betrayed. But then we get to Josiah. We set the stage for what kingdom he's going to be receiving from his grandfather and from his father, and there are going to be very severe consequences for what his father and grandfather had done. But Josiah comes to the throne. And this was our scripture reading tonight, was verses 1 and 2. It says, he was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8-year-old child given a kingdom that had been really destroyed by his father and grandfather. And now he has to try to figure out what to do with this kingdom. Now, obviously, at that time, he probably would have had a regent of some sort, someone who was going to serve in his stead until he was of age. But he was the king. He was the king that was supposed to reign over Judah, a nation that had been God's chosen people. But let's go ahead and read at what took place here. It says he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedida, the daughter of Adiah of Bozekath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father. Notice that. His father who? His father Ammon? His grandfather Manasseh? No. He walked in the ways of his father David. David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So Josiah has been given this kingdom, and he decides, I'm going to rule this kingdom like one of the greatest kings that's ever existed. That's how I decide to rule my kingdom. Not like my father did, where he ran it into the ground. Not like my grandfather did, who ran it into the ground. I'm going to reign like David. Now, what was important about David? He was called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Now, if I'm going to reign the kingdom like David, if I'm going to follow in David's footsteps, the first thing I have to do is realize there's a lack of God in this country. There's a lack of care about what God wants in this country. And this is exactly what Josiah is going to have to face. Let's start in verse 3. Now, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaiah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it unto the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house. Don't miss what just took place here. What's he saying? We're bringing God back. We're bringing a focus on God back to this nation. He says, we're taking money and we're going to put it towards the house of the Lord, the temple. We're going to repair it. It's fallen into disarray. People have rejected God. They've forgotten him. So we are going to bring it back into focus. Sounds like we're off to a good start, right? He's going through and trying to bring people's focus back. He wants them to see who God is. You see, Josiah saw a problem. I don't have to explain the picture behind me. We all know what that means. We're facing the elephant in the room. He understands what is the problem. And he understands that Manasseh and Ammon both led Judah into sin. Led them to idolatry. Dragged them away from God. Brought focus to the heathen nations of the world. He says, not me. Not me. I see that there's a problem and I need to solve it. See, Josiah's family had led Judah away from the Lord. He needed to correct that. So how is he going to do it? How is he going to go about this mission to bring Israel or Judah back to God? He says, the first thing I'm going to do is give you the ability to worship him. How do I do that? Giving you a place to worship. Giving you a place to worship. So let's continue on here. Starting in verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who did the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it to the king. Let's not miss the significance of what's happening here. For illustration's sake, let's imagine that America has gone so far away from the Lord that the Bible is not in print anymore. That a whole couple generations have passed that have not seen God, have not heard about God. They don't even know what the book of the law is. And someone finds it. Someone comes across the book of the Lord, they come across the Bible and they read it and they say, we found how to live and follow God. We've been trying to do this without him, without hearing his word. Here's how we do it. it is both a sad and encouraging passage here. It's exciting in the sense they're happy to hear the word of God. They're happy to see what they found. They say, hey, king, look what we found. But it's sad in the fact they had to find it. It's been said of Christians in the past that you could poke a Christian and a Bible verse would come out. They knew their book. They knew God. They knew who he was. Are we that way today? If the Word of God disappeared tomorrow, how much would we struggle? How much would we scramble and claw trying to figure out how to follow after God? In Psalm chapter 1, David wrote that a man who is blessed dwells on the Word of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night, and it says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who did Josiah say he was trying to mimic? David. See, he understood that David knew God, and now he's been given God's word on a silver platter. So how is he going to respond? How is Josiah going to respond to this? Now that he's been given the word of the Lord, the old law is not always a happy thing to read. How is he going to see this? Verse 11. Now it happened when the king heard the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Akim the son of Shaphan, Akbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us. Because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Josiah just responded the exact same way that Nineveh did to Jonah's preaching. He said, you go find a messenger of the Lord right now. He said, God is angry with us. But Josiah, you're trying to follow after him. You're trying to bring the nation back to God. Why would he be angry? Because we haven't been following him. We haven't been doing what he said. I read the book of the law. I saw where we're messing up. We've got some changes to make. When we read a passage that of the Bible that motivates us to action, what is our reaction? Is it anger? How dare you tell me what to do, God? Is it fear? Well, I've got to give so much up. Or are we like Josiah and we say, we've got to make some changes right now. Josiah wanted to follow after the Lord. He was following like David followed the Lord. He's not turning to the right hand or to the left. He said, I'm not playing games with the Word of God. It says it, we need to take action. He wanted to repair the house of the Lord. He heard the word of God and realized the problem they were facing. Josiah wasn't stupid. He wasn't going to play games and think, well, it's okay, we're trying. It counts to try, right? I'm sure we can come. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to make it exactly the way God wants it, but he'll be okay with that because we have good hearts. Friends, the heart that tells God what he has to accept and not accept is not a good heart. The heart that tells God, you need to accept things on my terms, is not a good heart. And we need to stop pretending it is. There are far too many Christians across this country who claim to be following after God, but they're only following after the law of their own heart. Josiah saw the problem and he knew there needed to be a change. So what is this change, Josiah? What are you going to do here? He's going to have to find these people, and let's see verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, Akim, Akbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. They go find a prophetess. Someone who can communicate for God here. And what does she say? Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him." We're not off to a great start here. They go to the prophetess, they say, okay, we're wanting to follow after God. What do we need to do? And the first thing is, yeah, y'all are going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. But God, our leadership is good now. We finally got a good leader. God says, good intentions don't change consequences of evil actions. He said, I have not forgotten what Manasseh did. I have not forgotten what Ammon did. And the same people who were doing evil under them are still doing evil under you. He said, and so here's the consequences. But notice, he had a separate message he had started. He was talking to Josiah now. Starting with verse 18, the latter part of verse 18. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Verse 19. Because you have had a tender heart and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamities which I shall bring upon are on this place. So they brought back word to the king. The most peaceful thing that God can say to this king is, you're not going to be the one that sees all of this. This nation is going to be destroyed. But the good news I can give you is you won't be here for it. This doesn't quite sound like the super inspiring and exciting passage we might think it is. At first we might think, oh, this is exciting. Josiah is coming back to God. But consequences are long-lasting. The destruction of Judah was coming, and it was going to happen regardless of what anyone did. But he had good news for Josiah. He said, you humbled yourself. You didn't react with anger or with rejecting me. You didn't follow after the steps of your father or your grandfather. No, because of that, I'm going to remember you. Because you chose to put me first. You chose to follow after me. He saw the problem. He understood there had to be something done. And Josiah immediately sought out the Lord. Where is our first stop when there's a problem? What is our first reaction when we fall? When we make mistakes? Is it to go to God? When I'm facing troubles in my life, when I'm facing people who reject me, rebuke me, who gossip about me, all of these different things, where do I go? I can go to my friends and they might offer some comfort. I can go to my church family, they also can offer some comfort. My family might offer some comfort. But who's the only one who can actually make a difference? Who's the only one who actually can offer us long-lasting peace? The funny thing about people is we sometimes give very bad advice. We don't always know the right things to say. But if I cast my cares on Him, then I can have a peace that no human being can offer. Do you think Josiah felt better after talking to God? Probably not fully. To an extent, probably so, because he at least understood, I've at least pleased God. but he also knows he's been made king of a sinking ship. So now what's he going to do? For us, we might say, okay, well, the nation's going to be destroyed. At least I'm okay. We'll just see where this goes. You think that's what Josiah did? Do you think that was the attitude that he had with understanding that his nation was going to be destroyed? No. See, Josiah followed the solution. He followed the solution. And what was that solution? We understand he had the right heart. He had the heart that was willing to say, God, I need your help. I'm not the one who can make these decisions. I saw what happened when my father and grandfather made terrible decisions, and I see now what those consequences are. What do I need to do? What can I do? He says to God, I need help. So God gave him the plan, but not by a direct conversation with him. How did Josiah get the plan? He had the word of God. He had the law. All he had to do was read it and apply it. Do we have anything different? When I have questions about what I need to do to follow after God, is he going to reveal it to me directly in a dream in the night? No. But I have his whole complete word with me all the time. Many of us probably have multiple copies. Do I treat this book like the people of Judah did? Do I hide it away because I'm God's people? Or do I dig into it till the pages fall out? Do I try to understand every single thing I can about God? Because I, for one, don't want to face the same consequences that Judah did. But what else? Josiah made the word of God public. This is the part that is fascinating to me. We just talked about the fact he understands that his nation is a sinking ship. There's nothing that's going to be done to save Judah. And so what's the first thing that Josiah does? Makes it public. Makes it public. Let's start in verse 1. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And notice this. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing today if we could gather a huge crowd of people and just read the Word of God and them actually listen? Friends, there are many congregations of the Lord's church that can't even get their congregation to sit and listen to the Word of God. Had a friend of mine a while back say to me he had to leave a work because he was told by an eldership, don't preach the Bible from the pulpit, we can read it at home. What is our attitude about the Word of God? Is it just boring to us, just tedious work? Or is it the words that can change our lives forever? Josiah understood the power of this. Notice, he didn't say he got up and preached the Word of God. No. He read it. He got up and read it. And it made a difference. It made a difference. See, he made the Word of God public, but he also removed those who were leading others astray. Let's look at verses. We're not going to read all of this for sake of time, but let's start with verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priest whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it into ash, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Josiah is making a statement. But notice what just happened here. Notice where he was finding some of these things. A wooden idol in the house of the Lord. We look at that and say, how could they do that? How on earth could they think that was a good idea? But friends, there are congregations of the Lord's church that bring idols in every single Sunday. It doesn't have to be wood and stone. They could be bringing idols in about their own attitudes about what they want to do after church. They could bring idols in of, I want to be like all the other denominations out there because they're popular and people like them. Friends, as Christians, we need to leave any idols outside of our lives, not just outside the door. Josiah understood this had to be destroyed. This had to be stamped out. This had to be removed because these people were on a time clock. He understood, I'm not going to be around forever, so I can at least try to help as many as possible, because if I humbled myself before God and I was given a little mercy, maybe they can too. Friends, while we're walking this earth, we are not in a permanent comfort. We have a mission. There are people outside those doors who are dying every single day lost. And we are the only ones who can make the conscious decision to do it. To go help them. To help them see the Word of God. It's not for us to worry about other congregations and what they're doing. No, this is my job. Where's my heart? Josiah understood this had to be removed. One of the missions of an elder, one of the things that's described as a qualification for elders, is stopping the mouths of gainsayers. Not allowing them to have a position. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul wrote of the church in Corinth, he says, there are people who are coming in and preaching all these heresies, all these false doctrines, teaching you things that we did not tell you, and you have a pulpit for them. Do we have the heart that says, I'm not going to allow this here? The devil has no power in the Cookeville Church of Christ. Is that our heart? Is that our mission? The elders are doing a great job, and they can continue to do a great job of trying to protect us. But friends, it's a personal decision too. One person can make a great change for good or a horrible change for evil. But only I can decide what I do. Josiah made his choice. He said, I'm stopping this right now. He used his position. He used the power that he had to try to bring people closer to God. But this is a slightly different tone that's right in the middle of it. And I love this so much. In the middle of all this really tense moment of him going around and destroying these idols and bringing good back, we read of one little moment here. Let's look at verse 21 of chapter 23. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. The legacy of this nation was they had not been following God for years. He says, such a Passover wasn't seen since the judges, since the kings of Israel and Judah. But in the 18th year of Josiah, there was a Passover like none other. What we get to do here tonight is a privilege that so few have. For the centuries since Christianity has existed, this has been a rare blessing. We get to come here in our own comfort, in our own cars, from our own houses, in comfortable clothes, sit in an air-conditioned building, study the Word of God. What do we do with it? There's many people around the world who don't have that opportunity. I had a friend of mine who was doing mission work in Switzerland, of all places. And he told me that when they were worshiping, they had to shut all the windows, even though it was hot. He asked them why that was, and they say, if we get a little too loud in our singing, the police will come and shut us down. So we have to close it to make sure we're not bothering anybody. Friends, we could blow the roof off this place and no one's going to care. What a blessing we have. But do we allow these blessings to cause us to fall into complacency? Do we allow these blessings to make us forget how good God is and we have to wait for something terrible to happen to remind us to look back to Him? Or do we use this comfort? Do we use this time? Do we use our blessings to make a huge change while we're in the moment? The choice comes to us just like the choice was Josiah's. Josiah could have been exactly like his father. But he chose to be different. He chose to break the legacy that had been handed to him. William Shakespeare is quoted by having said that no legacy is greater than honesty. Do I have an honest heart? Do I say I'm a member of the Lord's church just because mom was? Just because dad was? Just because grandpa was? Or am I a member of the church because I know it's right? I know this is what's best. I know this will get me close to God. Where is our attitude? Each of us have a legacy. Right now, we have a legacy. No matter how old we are or how young we are, we have a legacy. But we have a choice right now on where that legacy ends up. We can be like Manasseh and like Ammon, having rejected God and that being all we're known for. Or we can be like Josiah and say, I know that this is a sinking ship, but I'm going to save as many as possible. It starts with you. It starts with me. Who will we choose to be tonight? You can choose to follow after the Lord. Just like Josiah had the word of the Lord that he could follow, that he could study from, that he could grow closer to God, we have the word of God today that helps us to grow closer to Him as well. He laid out a plan for us to follow so that we can have salvation from our sins. A plan that was thousands of years in the making till the time that Jesus came to this earth. And it's very simple. We must hear the word just like Josiah did. We have to hear what God wrote down for us to do. Just like Josiah, we have to believe that this is true, that there has to be action done. And based upon that belief, we're willing to repent. To say we've been following the wrong path, and just like Josiah, make a U-turn. Say, I'm going to do something different. And based upon that repentance, we can be baptized into Christ. Something Josiah didn't have at that time. But we can be buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, as we see in Romans chapter 8. But maybe you did all that. Maybe you are a member of the Lord's church. Maybe you followed after God, and maybe like the nation of Judah, you forgot Him. The Word of God became a dusty book on a shelf instead of a living Word that you followed. It's your choice what to do with it tonight. You can go home, just like you have many other times. Or you can make the change. have the guilt, the shame, the fear washed away. What will your choice be? Will you be like Josiah and follow after God all the days of your life, not turning to the right hand or to the left? Don't hesitate to make the right decision. Don't wait for a more convenient season. Come now as together we stand and as we sing.